One day near the city of Jerusalem, a father sadly looked into the eyes of his children. He said, "The time for sacrifice has come. Our sins must be covered. Our wrongs must be atoned." The younger one said, "I don't understand why our sins can't be forgiven without the killing of my lamb." The father took the young child by the hand and said, "There will come a day when the Lion out of Judah will become the Lamb of God and take our sins away. There will come a day. No more sacrifice is needed. Perfect grace will be completed. Oh, my child, there will come a day." One day in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus prayed, "If it be thy will, let this cup pass from me." But he knew the plan of God would have to be. And in just a few short hours, he would die on Calvary. His humanity cried, "Lord, any other way." His divinity rose up and said, "This price I'll have to pay." And just before the Father turned away, he said, "There will come a day. Your defeat will turn to victory, for the cross that you carry bears the weight of all the world. There will come a day when the blood stains in your hands declare the hope for every man. Oh, my child, there will come a day." Each day that we live among sin's awful curse, the evidence of darkness seems to only get much worse. We cry to God in anguish, "Lord, how long will you allow this evil world to just go on and on?" But all of us who've made this God our choice can listen in our spirit, and we can hear his voice. He calls our downcast souls to rise. Rejoice, rejoice, he says, "There will come a day that reveals the King of glory, and the mighty name of Jesus will forever be proclaimed. There will come a day. No more night, no sin, no sorrow, no more longing for tomorrow. Oh, my child, there will come a day. No more night, no sin, no sorrow, no more longing for tomorrow. Oh, my child, there will come a day. There will come a day."
Hallelujah. There will come a day. Isn't that awesome? We will definitely find that day soon. How many of you agree with that? Soon? Are we getting ready for it? Praise the name of Jesus. I was watching those who are interested in politics. In Texas, they passed a law basically shutting down abortion. Isn't that awesome? That's going to be great. And other states are starting to think about the same thing. And this is what all this mess is all about that we're seeing. The elitists are trying to keep these abortions going because it's just child sacrifice like they used to do in the Old Testament. But now they do abortions, killing babies by the millions. It's unbelievable what the human being does to people. It's all of Satan's strategy to try to stop the repopulation and the repopulation of the earth. He doesn't want that number to creep up. So he's been killing babies and wars and everything to keep that number as low as possible. But I got news for him. We're going to get that number and we're going to get that great harvest. Hallelujah. And this is why homosexuality is such a big deal these days. Why? Because homosexuals cannot reproduce. And in many, many, many churches, they're starting to accept the fact that homosexuality is the norm. People were born that way. I was born that way too, till I became born again. That's the deal. Not only me, everybody's born. Everybody's got those tendencies to do something that's evil. So this is what the Bible teaches us. We should become born again. So I got a little bit of news for you, for those who've been listening on Radio Southern Manitoba. Anybody here listens to Radio Southern Manitoba? That's six stations, one in Steinbeck, one in Altona, one in Killarney. And then we got one in Swift Current, and then one in Alberta. I was simply cut off all of them this week because I made the statement. They wrote me the letter. They sent me an email. I made this statement. If you do have homosexual tendencies as a Christian, you need to give it to Jesus. He'll help you. And that was it. Simply shut everything off. I have no more platform on Radio Southern Manitoba. The good old Mennonites are definitely proving who they are. I remember when I was kicked off Portage Station, and that was done by the Hutterites. Interesting. The Hutterites did not like the message of salvation. These guys do not want me to preach the morals of the Bible. Sorry, I told them when they warned me, there's not going to be any negotiations whatsoever. I'm going to preach the Bible the way it is. If I get locked up in prison, then so be it. God is going to get me out of there somehow, maybe at the rapture. Anyway, we need to understand, we are heading for some interesting times. We are in a time of just, it's going like this. One, what will happen? I expect a great change in the very, very near future. How do I know there's going to be a great change? Because of the October month of September. Anybody's kept the tabs on the month of September throughout the years? things happen drastically throughout the month of September in the spiritual realm. So we're going to see what's going to happen by the time end of September rolls around. I have a feeling we are going to see a bit of a difference in Canada and in America. That's going to be interesting to watch. So God, keep your eyes open, because he wants you to know he's in control. He's in control. He knows exactly what's going on. Nobody's going to take him by surprise. And things will happen according to the plan he made. And that's it. Nobody's going to change that plan. I know the elitists tried, the Bilderbergers, these other elitist guys, they tried to bring in a one world government. Already they're being pushed back on every corner. So it's going to be a very interesting few months. Keep your eyes open, your ears open. God is going to definitely be the winner on this. I was on this program not too long ago, and this person asked me about the end time harvest. Will there be an end time harvest? I said, of course there will be. The latter rains are going to be poured out, and there's going to be a great harvest, because God is the master farmer. He knows exactly what he's doing, and he is not going to have a crop failure. How many of you can agree with that? He's not going to have a crop failure. You look at India, you look at Pakistan, you look at all these Muslim nations, do you think God is going to allow them to go to hell? Those millions of people without him opening their eyes to the truth. No, he will not. He will show them where they stand, and they'll make a decision on that. And I believe many millions will turn to Christ, billions actually. So God is good. But for us, we need to make sure that we stand strong, because it can be very discouraging, especially if you see all the people around you just bowing the knee to the government and doing all these things. Yes, I understand there is a problem with this COVID-19 and everybody's scared out of their wits. I know that. But let me tell you, you don't have to make it worse than it is. All you need to do is have faith in Christ, and he'll show you what to do. Sometimes I think people are way too scared of dying. If you're a Christian and you're afraid of dying, yes, I know anxiety could be there. But if you're truly afraid of dying, you need to have a talk with this Jesus, because death is just the doorway into a glorious eternal life. So today I'll teach on an interesting subject. It'll point at us. It'll point at who we are. The Apostle Paul was very straight to the point. He did not mince words whatsoever. He brought it out. This is one thing I like about the Apostle Paul. He doesn't fool around. And if you want to argue with him, argue. The Apostle Peter said they do argue with Paul's writings to their utter damnation. That's pretty interesting. And I've heard people say we have more revelation than the Apostle Paul has right now. I don't think so. The Apostle Paul mostly had revelations from the Old Testament. He just simply brought it forth like it was. So before we get into this message, let's rise and ask the Lord for blessing. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace. I ask you, Lord, that you'll open our hearts to the truth and the signs of the times. I pray that you will bless us, Lord. Make us a blessing to those around us as we hear from your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. You may be seated. In Philippians chapter 3 in verse 1, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same thing to you, to me, indeed is not grievous, but to you it is safe. Beware of dogs. That's one thing you have to pay attention to. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Jesus Christ and have no confidence in the flesh. Now here the Apostle Paul didn't mince any words. Beware of the concision. Who does he mean? He was talking about the Israelites who were circumcised that were going about to try to destroy the works of Paul. And he actually called them dogs. Now, if you would bring it to today, you go on the internet and you will see many, many dogs bringing their points across. A dog is somebody that'll try to harm you. How? By leading you in an evil and wrong path. It says, beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. And one way to beware of them is study the Word of God yourself. Don't go to church and get that appetizer and go home. You come to church, get the appetizer, go home, and then start eating the steak. You need to study the Word yourself, because God will open your eyes to the truth of what He wants you to know. God has revelations for you. He has revelations for me. And if we dare trust Him, He will open our hearts and our minds to the truth of what's happening, of what's going on, and of what is to come. This is what I like about God. This is what I like about the Word of God. You know what's going to come in the future. There is no other book like that. So get to know this Jesus. Get to know the author. And you will find out that He opens your heart and mind to what He has in mind. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 4. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh. So here Paul is starting to brag about himself. Listen to how he brags. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh. If any other man thinks that he has whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the 8th day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. We have to remember the Apostle Paul followed the real law, not some religious organization that you see now that have brought up some laws throughout the last 2,000 years. Some of them don't even make sense. You look at them and you ask, what are you guys, crazy? What are you doing? You think this is the will of God for you? Why don't you study the old law? Well, the Apostle Paul, he said, I kept the law. He did not talk about the cheap religious organizations that we're having now, the cheap denominational teachings that we have now. He was talking about keeping the law. And then he said, I was good at it. I kept it to the point where I persecuted the church because he thought the church was trying to destroy the law. So he went out and persecuted them. He actually killed a few. In his own words, he said that. So what does he do? He says, I was good at it. But then it says in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 7, but what things were gained to me, I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. So here is where he's trying to focus ourselves in on. Away from keeping law, away from following rudiments and laws, rules, and regulations. You get into getting to know Christ. I count all things but the loss of the excellency of the knowledge of Christ. Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. That's quite a statement. You know, I want to tell you something. It was Moses who was given the law to by God. And he said, I kept these laws. Now I count it as dung. It is nothing. It has no power. It's absolutely useless, that I may know Christ. It's the blood of Christ that sets us free from the bondages of sin and death. It's the blood of Christ that opens our hearts and minds to the truth of Scripture. Before the law was, there was an inner unction in your heart. You knew what was right and wrong. Everybody knew it. I give you an example. Remember Joseph? He was sold into Egypt. He didn't have any law. The Bible teaches us that everybody was doing what they thought was right in their own mind. And guess what? When Potiphar's wife came to try to entice him into a relationship with, he said, I cannot do this evil in the sight of my God. How did Joseph know it was evil? Because in here, there was this thing put there by God, a conscience that all the heathen have. Everybody has it. It's in there. There is a moral law in there that tells you what is right and what is wrong. And Joseph said, I will not do this evil. And then the Apostle Paul says, I tried to keep these laws. I did everything I could. I was perfect. But I count it as dung that I may win Christ. Why? It is because by trying to keep the law, you will fail every time. Or you might not go have an adulterous relationship. You might not go have an homosexual experience. You might not go and watch pornography. You might not go and get yourself drunk, but you will have an evil thought. You will even gossip a little bit. In God's eyes, it's the same thing. Sin is sin, regardless how small or how big. And if you lose in one, you lose in all. That's why the Apostle Paul says that I may win Christ. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 9, and be found in him. Are you in Christ Jesus? Listen to this. Be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law. Not having my own. I'm not interested in that because that doesn't help me a bit, which is in the law. But that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Faith in what Jesus did on the cross for me. Faith on what he accomplished at that incredible time in history. He became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. He made us one with God. Listen to this. That I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. We want to conform to Jesus Christ by what he did on the cross for us. We become him, he becomes us. We are a new creation in Christ Jesus. When Jesus paid it all, when he said it is finished, he meant business. Many churches today would say, come on in, salvation is free. But once you're there, guess what? You have to pay rent. Isn't that interesting? They put laws, rules, and regulations on you. No, if you become born again by the Spirit of God, you need to be led by Christ. You shouldn't need any laws, rules, and regulation. Joseph didn't even have the law, but he knew in his heart that committing adultery with the Potiphar's wife was wrong. And if us being Christians do not know what is wrong, then there's something missing within us. Jesus is not there. We need to understand that. We do not need the law. We got the law of Christ in our hearts. And that's what makes the difference between the born-again Christian and the unbeliever. So it says we are made conformable unto his death. Hallelujah. And then when it comes to being a Christian in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 13, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but that one thing I do, forgetting the things that are behind, reaching forth unto the things that are before, I press towards the prize, the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. If in anything you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Listen to what the Apostle Paul says. He knows when he has Christ. He knows when this Spirit is within him, that he now needs to reach forward. To do what? Attain salvation? No, that's not what he's talking about. To get to know how to please his God. To start operating in the power of the Holy Spirit. To start seeking the will of God. And being directed by him from day to day. That's why the Bible teaches us. It says, let as many as of us that are what? Perfect. Be thus minded. Are you perfect? Has the blood of Christ made you perfect? It did me, hallelujah. Did I do anything to achieve that? No, all I did was take it by faith. And God give me eternal life through Jesus Christ, my Lord. That makes me perfect. And when in my perfect state, I press towards the prize, the mark, the high calling of God, I tell you one thing, there are no limits in sight. The heavens are the limits, and they go on for eternity. So God is telling this. He will reveal these things unto you. And remember, for every person, it's different. We don't come along with we're all under one huddle. No, God wants to speak to all of us individual. That's the problem with religious organizations. We all have to do the same thing. We all have to dress alike, talk alike, walk alike. Why would God need robots? He could make geese. He could make horses. But he made human beings. Ever notice that every human being has a different face? Has a different nature? Has a different height even? Difference beyond comparison sometimes. Why did God do that? Because God is like that. He loves diversity, and he wants to use you in that diversity to the fullest of your ability. So press towards that prize, the mark, the high calling of God, and you will find out what the joy of the Lord is. In Philippians chapter 3 and verse 18, it tells us, for many walk of whom I told you often, now tell you even weeping, they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. How many churches and how many people do you see on the internet who will somehow try to lead you away? I sometimes watch those guys and I wonder, what on earth is wrong with you? God will have to open your minds and hearts before it's too late. But the Bible calls them this. They are the enemies of the cross of Christ. If you belong to a church, if you come from a church, like most religious most Christians that come from religious organizations, they all have the same problem. The religious organization did not preach Christ and Christ alone for salvation. So the Bible calls it, they're the enemies of the cross. Very interesting. I didn't say that. It was the Apostle Paul that simply brought it out. And unless God changes their minds, unless God opens their hearts, they will all end up in the eternal lake of fire. And the eternal lake of fire is not just 200 years or 500 years. The Bible teaches us the smoke of their torment shall arise forever and ever. We have been created an eternal being. There was a time we didn't exist, but there's never, ever gonna be another time when we don't exist. I got news for everyone that's listening through the internet. You are here as a conscious person for keeps. For the rest of eternity, you're going to be conscious of yourself. Whether you're going to spend your eternity with God, it's your choice. So make that choice today, and it's simple. It's very straight to the point. I'll tell you how in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 26. For you are all the children of God by what? Keeping this law, joining this religious organization, wearing these types of clothes. No. Driving horse and buggy like we see here in southern Manitoba. I feel for those people driving horse and buggy. Thinking that has any spiritual thing. I don't mind diversity, but if you all of a sudden think that's going to help you in your spiritual walk with God, you got a problem. For you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized unto Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. You are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you be in Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So there you are. You are children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. I didn't write this. It was written thousands of years ago. By a person filled with the Holy Spirit. And now I get the privilege to read it and to apply it to myself and take it and bring it on so that I can live like it. So God wants us to see this, that we are Abraham's seed, heirs according to the promise. And I like this one in closing out in Psalms 103 in verse 12. As far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgression from us. Like a father that pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knows our frame and remembers that we are dust. Why does he use east from the west? Why not north from the south? Because the north and the south have a pole. They meet. The east and the west never meet. Have you ever thought of that? So he makes sure we understand. As far as the east is from the west, that's as far as he pushed our sins away from us. In other words, never ever will he remember them or see them again. So we need to open our hearts to these incredible nuggets that God wants us to understand and take a hold of and bless ourselves. The Bible teaches us in 2 Timothy, study to show yourself. that you're approved of God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Get to know who you are in Christ, and God is going to meet you wherever you are. It's going to be an awesome trip. So let the Lord open your heart to this and make you a blessing. Amen.
Is your name written there on those pages bright and fair? Is your name written in the book of life? If you want to be there, then down here you must prepare. Then your name will be in the book of life.
Get down on your knees and pray, you from sin must turn away, or your name won't be in the book of life. If you'll turn to Jesus now, at his feet just humbly bow, then your name will be in the book of life.
Don't you know that Christ once said that from sin you must repent, so your name could be in the book of life? You will have a great surprise if you fail to recognize that your name must be in the book of life.
Get down on your knees and pray, you from sin must turn away, or your name won't be in the book of life. Don't delay and don't forget that from sin you must repent, then your name will be in the book of life. Get down on your knees and pray, you from sin must turn away, or your name won't be in the book of life. Don't delay and don't forget that from sin you must repent, then your name will be in the book of life. Then